Felger and Mass.
Little sport dork orgy. So sporty.
Oh, yeah.
So sporty. Sports and sports and sports. Sports in your face. Sports.
Felger and Mass. Awesome. 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Bad defense, bad coaching, bad playing, just bad everything.
Good job, Bill. Thank you. Glad I didn't hear it for the second straight day. Well, it was just the kind of game it was. There are a lot of plays out there. No. Come on. If you can do one thing, you can prevent big plays. Everyone should be able to do it. If you can't prevent big plays, suck. You're the Packers. You're everybody else. At the very least, just get back. And that, the fact they didn't do that in that game was the most alarming thing to me. Back to your phones on all of this. Jaguar in the car. Go ahead, Jaguar.
Yeah, I was just wondering if you guys think the problems we have with defense is the defensive coordinator or if it's the players. We're the same players we had last year for the most part, but yet it seems like we're doing worse in defense than last year.
I think the defense is exactly the same as it was last year.
It's the personnel. It's the players.
It's exactly the same.
I think it's largely the personnel. I just don't think they have many players back there.
And in that first half, didn't you look at it and go, whoa,
yeah,
look at that scheme. Look at that creativeness. Like that, I used to see this all the time from the Patriots defense way back in their previous, you know, run. The first half of the decade, the first half of the run, I mean to say, when Rack was here with Bill, and like they come with all this creative stuff, and it's like
exotic blitzes.
There was guys standing up. You don't know where they are. They coming, they going. And then in the second half, it's like, what was that?
I have no idea. Maybe they tried to do it again, and they just screwed it up.
Maybe Reed made an adjustment, you know?
Could be. To me, the thing that I found alarming about this game was the safety play, because that, in theory, should be one of the strengths of the team with McCourty back there. And if McCourty's lost a step at all, although it was him that chased the guy down on the kickoff, right?
McCourty?
Yeah. I thought I'll go back and look. I'm pretty sure it was him. He looked pretty fast on that play, but that was a straight line. In any case, if their safety play has suffered and they've lost something there, they're going to be in trouble in the secondary.
Steven Taunton, give me a Celtics take.
Good afternoon, boys. Hey, anything going to the finals is unacceptable. This team is going to have problems in the early go. I can tell you that with lineups, minutes, there's no question about it. Brad's already spoke about how this team is not very good right now, and Gordon Hayward is not going to be playing a lot of minutes, so he better get used to that for a little bit, too. Thanks, guys.
Okay, if Gordon Hayward's not ready to play a lot of minutes because he's rusty, the ankle, all those reasons, you know, normal reasons.
I mean, he's on a restriction to start the year.
Okay, is that going to be dicey? Because Gordon Hayward wants to be an international superstar. I mean, we just know this. He can't take a dump without posting it on Instagram.
Yeah, but I also think he understands that he has to be eased into this season.
Does he?
I think so. Yeah,
does
the way that he's talked, yeah.
Does his wife? Do they all? Does the whole Hayward?
Alluding to with the wife?
Does Hayward International, the Hayward conglomerate, the mass? You know, do they understand? Does everyone in Team Hayward understand that he may have to be eased into this thing and maybe the sixth, seventh option to start the season?
Okay, so look, in theory, then this should fall on Stevens, right? I mean, he's Stevens' guy.
No, look, and I'm just telling you, let's see how that plays out.
Sure, yeah, no. Listen, I'm with you on Hayward. He's the variable now. He's because all the other guys have been here and played. You know, Kyrie missed time at the end, but he played the whole year, really, or pretty much, you know, close to it. So, but Hayward, we don't know. But again, if Stevens can't keep Hayward under control, who's he going to keep under control?
So, the slow start to me, it could happen like that again. Super team sort of slump to begin a year. We've seen it with a lot of these teams. And a non-issue if they pull it all together, except if they somehow lose home court because of it. I mean, I still don't know. Game 7 in Toronto, you fully confident the Celtics have that game?
No. I said no at the beginning. Don't look at me.
I'm not.
No, you're talking fans.
I'm just asking.
Okay. So, no, I don't think that's a slam dunk.
I think home court's everything in that league.
I think they still have to have home court.
Unless you're LeBron. But home court's from everybody else is everything.
I mean, the 2007-08 Celtics got home court. They won 66 games, and they needed it, as it turned out, in the first round. So, now, look, as it went on, but that was a largely veteran team that was able to learn quickly and learn on the fly, and then they were able to win on the road as the postseason went along. But in the first round, they had trouble.
First two were all home court.
So they did win one at they won one at Detroit, right? Oh, that was the conference final.
It was the third round.
Oh, right. That was the conference final. So yeah, you're right. It was the first two.
So that's the only thing. Do they slump so much that Toronto nips them for that first seed, and then that's a factor? But that's the only thing. Otherwise, even if they get off to a slow start or there's some integration things, at the end of the day, it's going to be the talent, unless you're on the road, and that's the one variable in that league. Cody in Nashua wants to weigh in on that Packers fake win last night. I'd have a whiteboard here if I remembered it. I was going to grab it out of my daughter's room. That was a fake win.
Have you ever seen a loser team with a more loser mentality? At the end of the game, did you guys see that? They were all kissing Mason Crosby's ass after he missed five field goals the week before.
Your phone is just not nearly good enough. Yeah, the Celtics,
Packers
were pretty pleased with themselves, I'll tell you, after that win.
Yeah, I got no problem with them kissing the kicker's ass.
I do.
That was a result of the week before. Like the fact
still,
that
that's gross. He's just doing his job. Oh, Mason, he's back. He hits a chippy to win the damn thing after missing five the week before.
Get out of here.
He should have tried to pump him up.
Fake win, fake team. They suck. They're going nowhere. Honestly,
they do suck.
They disgust me.
I agree. So that part, I agree with you on.
And it's almost better if they just lose. Just lose and be, 1-5 like you should be. Otherwise, your quarterback, who hasn't been that great this year, just, there's 2 minutes left and he decides to start playing and you win. But what does that mean? What does that show you? You can't beat good teams doing that. You can't go on the road and do that. So at home on Monday night against an atrocious opponent, in the last 2 minutes, you just decide to play. The fake win.
Jimmy G would have put 50 on him last night.
Chris,
did I see that Mike Pettine is the defensive coordinator of the Packers?
That is correct.
Yes, that is
Mike Pettine.
Yes,
they suck.
Former Browns coach.
Yeah, they're done. That defense smells.
Chris and Rainham on Patrick Mahomes. Yes, Chris.
Hey guys, I think we should cool the Jets a little bit on Mahomes. Through six games, he had the same record as Alex Smith had. The Chiefs are only scoring 3 more points a game than they did through the first 6 games. He's 4 more touchdowns, but also 4 more interceptions. Similar to what a caller said earlier.
Chris, thanks for the call. Let's not engage the callers with the delay. It's too painful.
No, so here you go. Flavor, right? Yeah. Fans are pissed off because the Kansas City quarterback might be good.
It might actually threaten
the structure of the hierarchy in the NFL, and now so he sucks.
Nobody can be good.
Baby Patriots fans can't handle people saying something good about another player or another quarterback. Can't handle it.
Yeah, Phil, let's pump the brakes on Pat Mahomes. He's the same as Alex.
It's okay, Patriots fans. Okay, people. There's someone else in the league who's playing the position well. It's okay. Brady's still good.
Would you ever compare Patrick Mahomes to Alex?
No. Oh, my God.
Alex Smith.
In a million years, would you ever compare the two?
No.
Pat Mahomes has made more big plays in the first 6 weeks than Alex Smith has made in his entire career. And that being said, Alex Smith, sort of aired it out early last year. Like, he came in here and threw it deep, and everyone was like, whoa. Finally, he's taking shots. But that's just not who he is. Just arm strength alone. I mean, not that that's
no, all of
important
it.
Thing. But
no, to me, I would never compare the two. And I've told you a million times, I think Alex Smith's half decent. He's okay. I mean, I'd take Alex Smith in a lot of cases. Maybe not now in this league, because in this league you need someone that's going to whip it all over the field. Clearly, because anybody can do it.
So Alex Smith, in a different time, would be a nice little game manager for a team with a good defense and a good coach and, just put the ball where it should go and he'd be fine.
The Patriots of the early 2000s.
Yeah.
I mean, really?
I'm not sure you're winning Super Bowls, but
that's insulting.
He'd be fine.
I didn't say they'd win Super Bowls.
The Patriots fans back. It's enough for them to handle that people are saying nice things about another quarterback in the league. Don't introduce Alex Smith would have done what Tom Brady did, would you please?
I didn't say that.
They couldn't handle that. Cam and Taunton, what do you got for us on the Celts?
First of all, did that call up before me? You're why everybody hates Patriots fans. Yeah, you're the exact reason why. You're why everybody hates this region, me included. I love the team, but I hate the fan base. But on the Celtics, the guy who's got the most to prove to me this year is Jaylen Brown. Because, I mean, I know he had a good year last year, but I'm sorry. His performance in Game 7 against Cleveland was embarrassing. Like, dude, and then he runs his mouth in the summer. I mean, I agree with him. I think they're going to the finals because I think there's nobody in the East anywhere near their level. And they wouldn't have gotten the minutes they got this last year if it weren't for Hayward's injury and the injury to Marcus Morris. So the two young guys, because we know what the other three are, they're proven veterans who are all stars. The two young guys need to show me if they can do it again.
Okay, Cam, it's a great point on Jaylen Brown.
Yeah, so look, Brown is one of the guys I want to watch. I don't love some of the stuff we've seen from Brown during the offseason, the comments that Cam is talking about. And then also, if you remember in the preseason, Stevens called them out one night when he said, you know, we can't just show up and win basketball games. And they asked Brown about it. He said, it's preseason. And I sort of look at that. Now, look, everything I hear from people around the Celtics is that Brown works hard. He's a good kid, et cetera, et cetera. But it feels like he says a lot of stuff that ends up in the news a lot. You know, whether it's, going back a couple of years now, you know, it just feels like he talks a lot. So what I would say is, for a guy that hasn't won anything, I would talk less and play more. Just my two cents.
And I still wonder, I mean, again, Hayward, Brown, and Tatum. I still feel like something has to give there. And I feel like early on it's going to be Hayward, just naturally, because he has this natural out. He's got to work his way back and not play back-to-backs and limited and things like that. So that's gonna take care of itself. But if Hayward gets up and gets back to speed and looks great, how can you tell me that Tatum and Brown and Hayward are all going to have the same amount of play that they would have as if they weren't there?
So this is where the work really gets tough for Brad Stevens, because he's going to have to handle these guys, especially if, like you said, Hayward is now playing at the level he was playing at pre-injury, and he wants more minutes. How's he going to handle
this? And
it's
not like, you know, Kyrie Irving.
Massage these egos.
For all his brilliance, he's not a pass-first point guard. It's not like Rajon Rondo just, you know, setting guys up left and right. It's like he takes the shots.
Sure. So, look, but I think in there, Kyrie is a better passer than I gave him credit for when he got here. Like, I was surprised by that. He has more capability to do that than I thought he did. But you realize that having three small forwards on the floor with Kyrie for Danny Ainge qualifies as porn.
Oh, he loves it.
I mean, think of it from a defensive standpoint.
He really wants you really want stretch fours, but, you know, same difference.
Okay, so which of those guys are you going to leave open on the three-point line?
I'm leaving Jaylen Brown open.
Okay, and what did he shoot from three last
year? He's better. He's getting better by the day.
So I just think it's a nightmare for they're going to be from if they have that lineup on the floor with Horford, they are going to be a nightmare for teams to defend.
Celtics open up tonight here on 98.5 The Sports Hub. Felger and Mazur at Hurricane O'Reilly's just down from the street from the Garden to preview it. So Celtics thoughts all day long, mixed in with our Patriots stuff, the football game last night, and we've got to start getting to now Game 3 in Houston. Red Sox Astros. We'll give you our leadoff thoughts on that ball game coming up right after this.
You're listening to Felger and Mazur on 98.5 The Sports Hub. You're listening to Felger and Mazur.
Doesn't always have to be ha ha hee hee.
Oh, love it.
98.5 The Sports Hub.
Obviously, there's fun banter. You know, you go back and you hear the New York and the Boston in the New York series. You get the different tweets and the different Instagram posts, and it's all in good fun. And we have a sport full of great personalities. And there's a fine line. Yeah, is it disrespectful? No. If it crosses a line, if you have to question whether it crosses the line, it probably does. And so I don't look any further into that. We want guys to have their personalities, have their fun. Then you got to go out and back it up. If you are going to put yourself out there, you got to back it up a little bit. But this is all in fun banter and competition and. We're playing a baseball game against really good team in front of millions and millions of people. Let your personality shine a little bit.
Boy, is AJ Hinch talking out both sides of his mouth there. Did you hear all the different things he just said?
I did not, no, but I disagree with him about let your personality come out.
So he's talking about, obviously, the Alex Bregman Instagram post yesterday that he put up briefly before he took it down, or the Astros made him take it down, of Nathan Eovaldi when he pitched for the Rays earlier this year, giving up back-to-back-to-back home runs in Houston during a regular season game in June. Bregman put that up, and then they took it down. And so A.J. Hinch was asked about it yesterday, and on one hand he says, well, it's this day and age, you know, it's what it is now, and it's just banter, and you got to let your personality show at this time of year. He also said in that same answer that if you're asking if it's crossed the line, it probably has.
I did hear that part, yep.
And you have to back up your words with your actions. So those last two things are saying...
Well, he shouldn't have done it.
He shouldn't have done it. The other things are... So he said both things in one answer. What do you think of the Instagram post?
Bregman's stupid. That's what I think. What are you doing? Just play the games. Are you going to start taunting the opponent in the middle of it? Maybe dial someone in a little bit more? Like, because to me, often at this time of year... This whole thing is about focus and the ability to, like, stay focused and execute and all of that. and not give in to the pressure or the circumstance or any of it. And now this guy's going out there and, you know, basically taunting the opponent like, yeah, we're going to rip his nuts off when he comes down here to pitch against us.
It is so colossally stupid. I can't even wrap my head around it. And I don't care about the code or crossing a line. Like, that's not my issue. I don't care about that. I'm talking about competitively. You've got Nathan Eovaldi where you want him. The last time he came into your building, you torched him. So you're probably already in his head. You've got him where you want him.
And now you've given him incentive to dig deep mentally somehow.
Absolutely.
And shove it right down your throat.
Now you've just poked him. You are so much better off, saying, if you're asked about Nathan Eovaldi, boy, you know what? That was a long time ago. He is so much better now. We've been watching film with this guy.
Yeah, even if you don't believe it, just say that.
And he is lights out, and we've got our work cut out for us in this game, and we got a lot of respect, not just respect for this guy, but he went to Boston, he figured it out. We know he's not doing that again. So we're just going to try and scrap out everything we can out of this guy. And then Nathan Eovaldi reads that and says, huh, actually when I was there I kind of sucked. What are they talking about? And like, that's how you play with a guy. What, once you have him down and you're in his head already, why are you, you idiot? That's so stupid. If you all play those psychological games, you would do that against someone who's owned you. Like, that I would get. Like, if someone has just, you know, Randy Johnson just owned you, and he's owned you night after night after night, and now after being 0 for the last 5 against Randy Johnson where he shoved it on you, the last 5 outings, someone says, you know what, we got to change the juju here. We got to change the karma. You know what, we can hit this guy. I'll show you. We'll string together the few hits we have gotten. And, you know, just like, then that I get. Because you're trying to slay the giant, and you're trying to jar something.
Play head games.
Yes. Like, awful example, but whatever. Herb Brooks in 1980 with the U.S. Olympic team spent that whole week before the Russian game mocking the Russians. Even though they were, you know, they beat him 10-2 in that exhibition game. He spent the whole week pounding that team to his players, because that's what that needed. But when you're on top, when you've already got Nathan Eovaldi down, you're going to poke the bear and give him reason? Oh, that's so freaking stupid.
Of course it's stupid. Again, they're the favorites. You know, if you ask me, they're the favorites. They're the better team. And I'm telling you, Bregman's starting to wear thin with me. From the whole show stros, we play at 5 p.m., we get no respect thing.
They're playing at 4 today.
Okay, yeah, so screw you. Four. Right, exactly. Screw you, play at 4.
4 local, yeah.
So like, I look at it and say, I just think, now look, they're the reigning world champions. I guess you can flap your gums all you want when you are the reigning world champions. But in this case, why call attention to it?
Oh,
and these things never work out.
Oh,
you know, when you try to mock the opponent, as much as I kind of liked that thing that Aaron Judge did in the ALDS, like, that blew up in their face. That gave them incentive. Remember Brady in the Super Bowl 42 going into the Giants, and he hears, oh, he thinks we're only going to score 17 points. Like, yeah, how'd that work out for you? So these things don't work.
So I was just going to say, it did work for the 07 Giants.
Because they were the underdogs, and this is what I'm talking about. That's my U.S. hockey team analogy. It's like, when you're the underdog and a team has owned you, then go ahead, throw whatever you need to throw against the wall to motivate yourself or try and change the juice, and like that I get, and give your team a reason, and fine. But when you've already, you know, Aaron Judge had already won that ball game.
Yeah.
You're already in the Red Sox heads.
The Astros are the reigning World Series champion.
The Astros are already the champion. They clocked Nathan Eovaldi the last time he was in that building. They're already in the spot they need to be in. Well, why are you trying to change any of the, you know, any of the narrative around that?
No, you shouldn't. Again, to me, what it does is, all it does is give the guy reason, more reason to focus. And look, that's the word I use, because I think that's what these games are largely about, is when you really dial in and you're locked in on nothing but the one task in front of you. How do you perform? Some guys choke, but a lot of people get better. Look at Bogaerts on that grounded shortstop. Did he look focused?
No.
Okay, the next one, you think he's going to be?
Yeah.
Okay, so like, this to me is the equivalent of what Bregman just did to Eovaldi.
Oh, so stupid. Self-inflicted. Dumb.
And I think I hate the Astros now. Like, who the hell are you?
Yeah,
like,
you're right.
It's not like you dominated the World Series over L.A. last year. You won in 7 games.
You're new money.
You're not a heritage team. You don't have history, really.
Love that.
Nouveau.
Yeah.
Yeah, you're trash.
So now, I didn't feel any kind of way about them. Now I hate the Astros.
You're trashy new money. You are typical Dallas you know, Texas, I mean to say.
Yeah, big belt buckles, like, woohoo!
Yep.
I got that money.
Yep. Yeah, and then the oil's going to dry up, and you'll be back in the trailer. Yeah, trash.
Oh, I like that. Nouveau riche.
Yeah, the new money.
Yeah, very good.
New money. Okay, there's that. I know you have some thoughts on the Red Sox pitching, Maz. We'll get to that in a second.
Sure.
I want to ask you about the lineup, because, you know, the Brock star is still out. Nunez is in, and Devers is out. And Holt's still out. Kinsler's still in. Nunez is in. Devers is out. Obviously, they're facing a lefty today in Keuchel, so they're going left-right there. But that's all they're doing, because if everything were equal, you'd be playing the other guys, right?
Yeah, so I told you, to me, Nunez shouldn't be playing in the series against unless you're going against a dominant lefty. And Keuchel doesn't qualify.
He does not.
He does not.
So you would play Devers today.
In fact, the last I checked, and I'll look again, I think Keuchel's splits are pretty even. They're not drastically different. So I'd play Devers. I think Devers, he might run into one. Guy hangs a pitch, whatever, and you hit one out of the ballpark. I just don't think the upgrade at third base is all that great defensively. Now, look, I in all honesty, I have not looked at the matchup numbers. So I'll look at the matchup numbers, and maybe Nunez is 8-for-11 against him for all I know. But to me, I saw enough from Nunez in game one to say, nope, I'm done. I'm done with Nunez.
Okay, and Cora is not, because I think he is obsessed with right-handed bats at Houston. And I don't know if that qualifies as local knowledge or not, but one of the reasons he pitched Price in game two is because he wanted the lefties in Boston, and he wants the right-handers in Houston, because that porch and left in Houston is even more of a joke than Fenway. And I think he thinks all those right-handed hitters in Houston are pull guys, and they're all just, you know, jerking 320-yard fly balls down the left field line and getting home runs, and I'm going to do the same thing with my righties. And he wants righties, 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 righty pitchers, righty hitters.
I mean, it feels that way. And again, look, the Houston bullpen is largely right-handed. He also made a comment about maybe we'll get a favorable matchup late in the game. We can bring a lefty off the bench. So in this case, you do have Holt. You do have Devers available to hit late if you want to do it that way, all of which I get. I don't see Nunez playing well. And you know what? He's not moving great either. If he were running well, you could at least say there's a dynamic there with his running ability that maybe you can generate something. I don't think he's moving well.
So they are obsessed with the left-right thing in this series. Just absolutely. I mean that's got to be all that it is, because if all things were equal, I'm sorry. I mean, and I, you know, the Holt stuff bugs me like it bugs you, but I'm playing him over Kinsler. He's more of an integral part of your team than Kinsler is, I think.
But at least with Kinsler, you can say Kinsler's a better defensive player, right? At the very least, you can say that.
Yeah.
So what can you say about Nunez?
Yeah, I can't. Right.
Like, that to me is the part I don't get. You're not getting any sort of defensive benefit there. Like, as much as they say it, they're not. The results are that they're not.
Okay. Your thoughts on this so far? Maz's thoughts on the Red Sox approach, pitching, all that coming right after Murray's update.
Felger and Maz. At the end of your ride home, you'll be all caught up.
If you get suspended again, you're going to miss playoff time, or you're going to miss time in the playoffs.
Or questioning your judgment.
Sorry I brought it up.
Felger and Maz. 98.5, the Sports Hub.
All right, Maz, you took a close look at some of the Red Sox pitching here in the first couple of games. What'd you see?
So it was a Sale game in particular. I went back and looked at that second inning with Sale because I wanted to see more. I wanted to look at his delivery, like all of that stuff. And here's what struck me about it, because I said to you that the thing that I found unusual about that inning was all those sliders that Sale threw that ended up in the left-handed batter's box. I mean, he missed by a mile. And the reality is, when I went back and looked at the inning,
all the sliders I missed in the left-handed batter's box.
Right, to right-handed batters,
yep.
Right? He was missing outside.
Outside.
Okay, so if I were to say to you, and I'm not trying to put you guys on the spot, but if I were to say to you, what is Chris Sale's trademark pitch? Like, what is the one, particularly to right-handed batters, what does he throw most frequently to strike guys out on?
To right-handers? Is it the slider as much as the
slider down and in.
Yeah.
Always at that back foot.
I mean, is that... Right? It's fastball sliders, too.
Pretty much. I mean, he throws a change, but that slider's his out pitch. And down and in, he buries that thing in there. Like, it, literally at that back foot. That's where he's throwing it. So in that inning, he had two outs, nobody on. Two outs, nobody on base. And then all of a sudden, everything started to unravel. And I think it was Correa who was the first batter. It might have been Gonzalez, one of those two. In any case, I'll go back and see if I can give you the exact order of batters. But all he was trying to do was throw that slider and drop it in on the outside corner. Like, finesse it. So my question then becomes, why aren't you throwing that down and in like you always throw it? Why are you throwing it on the outside part of the plate instead of down and in?
You know the answer. We went over this yesterday.
Game plan.
Okay, so they are terrified of coming inside to the right-handers because they feel they're all dead pull hitters because the little porch in Houston and the little porch in Boston plays as well. So they've told Price and Sale to stay the hell on the outside corner. And if you walk them, you walk them.
Okay, so
I mean, I read you the quote. They said as much.
Okay, so read the quote again. I mean, when you find it. Okay, and I'm not trying to put you on the spot.
Find it, Felger.
But I got it. I got it.
Pitching. I agree with you is the point. That this is what they're doing, and I hate it. Go.
Pitching coach Dana Lavangi, according to Alex Speer. Everyone can say we had 10 walks, but where were we at that point? We were in the game. We had a chance in the ninth inning, being down one. We've got two hits on the board, and we're only down 3-2, and we have 10 walks and three hit batsmen. But we're making pitches when we have to, getting out of innings, staying in the game. We're competing to the very end. Cora also told Alex Speer, we're really good when we keep the ball in the ballpark. I think everybody in the big leagues, when they do that, they have a better chance. We do feel we get spots that we can attack, and we're going to get either swings and misses or we're going to induce them to weak contact. But at the same time, if you make mistakes to what we call the red part of the heat map, analytics are driving this stuff.
Oh yeah, no, there you go. There's your proof.
Okay, but the heat map is the zones of the strike zone. Heat map is where the hitters can do the most damage.
Right,
so,
the red areas you want to avoid. That's where the hitters are hottest, and the blue ones are the coldest.
Middle end, basically, for these guys.
Think of it as a tic tac toe grid: three across, three down. Right, each of those squares has a cut. It's a tattoo grid.
Right.
And so they're part of the heat grid.
So they want to keep it out of the red area. the red part of the heat map, they're going to take advantage of it. Mass, they are telling you, this is it. And this is what the whole game is on. And it's a little annoying. They are playing to the home run on both sides of the ball in everything that they do. Why are they playing Nunez and Kinsler today? Because of that left porch. And there's a lefty pitcher, obviously, but they think there's a greater chance of those guys hitting a home run to left in Houston than Devers and Holt from the left side. Why did they save the righties for Houston? Because they want right-handers going against the right-handed hitters in Houston because they're afraid of the right-handed hitters hitting home runs in Houston. Same with Fenway.
Okay, I get all that.
Sale and Price, stay away from those right-handed hitters. We don't want them hitting home runs. That's it. It's all about the home run.
I know. As dumb as I sound and look, particularly sound, I get it.
Okay.
I get it. Do you agree with it?
Yes.
Why?
It's the game today.
Why would you take away Chris Sale's best pitch?
Why would I take away Chris Sale's best pitch? Because he's not 100% and I'm pitching to the other team's weaknesses.
Okay, and I hate that. I hate that. So at some point, the scale tips so far that you're more concerned about the other team's strength than you are about your own. Like, at some point, it tips to the point of being defensive. And I think what they're doing with Sale is defensive. Chris Sale's best way to get out right-handed batters is to bury that ball down and in. And you have to trust him to do it, and Sale can do it. Now, the injury thing is a different matter. Okay, but if you're asking Sale to pitch to something less than his strength, that's on you.
You want Price coming inside on these guys?
Price did. So this is what
I wonder. He came inside to Morin Gonzalez, and he hit the sign.
Okay, and he also got some guys out. And on that pitch, honestly, I think he threw the wrong pitch. He also gave up a double to Martin Maldonado that was supposed to be a cutter away that came into the middle of the plate, and Maldonado pulled it down the line. Maldonado, who sucks, by the way, they should be pounding the crap out of that guy inside. He's not going to get around on that. So I look at that and I say they're overthinking it.
They're sacrificing walks to prevent home runs.
And how's that working for him so far?
Not bad.
Okay, how did it work for Chris Sale in the second inning? He walked two guys and he hit a batter. Then he finally had to come in on a 3-2 pitch because he got behind Springer because he tried to nibble.
And it was a 2-2 game until Machine Gun Joe Kelly decided to prove a point to Bregman because he stepped out.
Okay, and then again in the ninth, the 3-run homer that they gave up. How did the guys get on?
Well, okay, but now we're talking about sucky pitchers who I take Workman off the board.
I think they've taken it too far. That's all. I think they've taken it too far. And I think that there's a chance that between games one and two, they said, we went too far. We actually asked Sale to stay out of there, and Price is going to come in a little bit more, and Price did come in a little bit more. So I was happy to see that.
Well, let's see. I mean, if, you know, the right-on-right stuff, Evaldi with these right-handers, who knows? maybe they're more aggressive with him. But
so this will work to Evaldi's strength because he's better on the first base side of the plate. He's going to throw to that side of the plate anyway because his cutter is going to go that way. He's really a two-pitch guy, right? So in that way, he might be a good matchup for them in that ballpark from the Red Sox standpoint because fastball away, cutter away, the ball's going to move away from those right-handed batters. And I think that could work. That should keep everybody happy today.
So this is – it's two things. I think this is Coors' knowledge of Houston, and I think he came into this saying – You can't give these stuff. You can't miss middle into these guys because they're all going to jerk it down the left field line in both parks. That'll kill you.
I just think he's giving them too much respect.
But I think the bigger thing is, Mass, I think the bigger thing is this. The entire effing game has become walk, strikeout, home run.
Sucks.
It's walk, strikeout, home run. And
I hate it.
I think they're all playing home run derby. Whoever hits the most home runs wins. And so we're going to prevent home runs, and we're going to try and hit home runs. And everything is geared towards that.
And I hate it. I do. I hate it. And the over-reliance on the numbers, as I said to you yesterday, just quickly, I don't turn on a baseball game to see the manager manage matchups. If you want to do it in the late innings, I get it. So I turn on to see somebody execute and see guys go nose-to-nose. You know, and it's a non-contact sport, but you know what I mean. Batter-pitcher confrontation, I like that. Like, if David Price is going to commit on Gonzalez, there's got to be a price. But if he execute it, you get him out. Okay, that I like. The nibbling and the – what's the point? Let's just have a home run derby and end it.
Okay. All our thoughts are on the board. Everything from the football that we opened up with to the Rodgers-Brady stuff. Again, I've demoted Aaron Rodgers. That's an official take adjustment right there. Brady's back on top of Rodgers. But are they even number one? Celtics open up tonight. All your thoughts on that. Everything on the board, I promise. Your calls right after this.
You're listening to Felger and Mass on 98.5, the Sports Hub.
B.O.B. Boob.
Oh, my God. Isn't that Bob?
It's Felger and Mass, 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Alex, you talk about keeping the ball in the park, and, you know, this is another place where it flies out of. How do you see the challenge for pitching here and compare this one to Yankee Stadium and Fenway?
pretty similar, but the opposite. But one thing about this ballpark for how conducive it is to offense, there's no gaps here. It's a good offensive ball club, and you know, when they hit the ball in the air, they're very dangerous. So kind of like stay with the same game plan. We did a good job with the Yankees in Yankee Stadium, and we're starting to get a better feel of who they are. Now we're going with the righties. It really doesn't matter with them, lefty, righties. They're very good offensively, but our relievers have done a pretty good job, except for one inning during the series. So we will keep attacking the way we feel we can to the safety nets and the blue spots, and hopefully they don't hit it in the air and hit homers.
All about the homers, Mass. And you do the best they can to pitch to the safety nets and the blue spots. And what I said, you know, everyone's giving credit for Cora for like all these moves. That's why I said, this is all heavily, heavily analytics driven now. All of it.
Oh, no question.
And just listen to the way he's talking.
So
we're going to pitch to the safety nets and the blue zones. Like, come on. Is that how a baseball guy talks?
I know. It's a little much. It is. It's way too much. It's gotten out of control.
But it's all about the home run.
100%. I know. I just think that I mean, let's see. They might be right. They might be right. I just hate the style of it.
I mean, maybe they looked at it. Maybe Cora knows. He says, and Cora says, and maybe they said the same thing about the Yankees because they did a great job keeping the ball in the yard against the Yankees, except for the one David Price implosion. So it's like maybe Cora said, I know those guys. If they're not hitting home runs, they're not much. So
maybe.
Just don't allow home runs.
So the only thing is, to me, the Astros have better hitters than the Yankees do, and I mean that as skill, right? The Yankees have a ton of power, but there aren't a lot of 300 hitters in that lineup. The Astros have some 300 hitters there. Now, Correa's had a bad year, but, you know, you go Altuve, Bregman can hit 300, you know, Springer hits for a lower average, but, you know, will hit mistakes. So I feel like the Astros are a little bit better there, and they're a little bit more balanced in terms of being able to hit lefties and righties.
But maybe they say, nope, it's just about the home run.
Okay, but with Evaldi was all about velocity up in the strike zone. That's finding a hole in the swing, right? So at least I feel like that's a little more tactical. What the Red Sox are doing against the if it has literally come down to We'd rather walk him than give up a home run. Yep. We're okay with 15 walks.
Yep.
That's going to bite him in the ass.
All right, but that's their approach. Your thoughts, folks. We're going to calls now. Doug in California, you're up first. What do you got?
Hey, guys. If it's all about home runs, then why isn't Rafael Devers playing tonight? Play that one to me.
Okay, so again, back to the lineup, Doug. Thanks for the call, and thanks for hanging on.
So you want the answer to that?
The splits.
The splits are about even, but Dallas Keuchel's giving up more home runs to right-handed batters than lefties. So if you want to start going down that road.
So if you go batting average.
Lefties are actually better against Keuchel than righties.
If you go batting average, he's a reverse split guy. Lefties actually hit for a higher average than righties against Dallas Keuchel. But
about 281 left-handers.
Homers?
So raw homers, it's right-handed batters because there are more at-bats. Believe it or not, the slugging, now that I look at it, is actually about the same, too. So, but my guess is they're going to take the shot that the right-handers are a better shot to hit the ball out of the ballpark in Houston.
In that park. It's about that park and the home run. That's all that it is. Dimitri and Chelsea, give me a Celtics thought.
Oh, boy. Finally, October 16th is here. I got this day on my calendar has been circled forever. And here's a couple quick takes for you. Number one, Brad Stevens is going to be coach of the year this year. You heard it here first. Number two, if the Celtics are in the first seed in the East, Kyrie will be an MVP candidate this year. And we are literally the Warriors of the East. Look back a couple years ago. We are built up with too many pieces. That is the best problem to have. Matt, get ready, because a year from now, we're lifting banner 18, baby.
Okay, there's a good even-handed take. And trust me, when you say you've heard it here first that Stevens will be coach of the year, that is not where we heard that first. That is said by every green teamer everywhere.
For the last few years.
Okay, so you might be the last guy to actually say it, not the first.
It is a rarity, though, that you get all four teams playing right now. I mean, when the Celtics toss the ball tonight, you get all four in season.
It's glorious.
The last time that happened was the final day of the 2013 World Series.
So sporty. All right, guys like us, it's just nirvana.
Oh, God, it's just an orgy.
Sports, 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 sports. Steve in the Jeep on the LCSs. Go ahead, Steve.
Hi, guys. Speaking of all four teams, Maz, the past two nights has been the Red Sox playing at the same time as the Patriots playing. I took a bath on those tickets. And last night was the Brewers and the Packers. I don't understand how they can't stagger these games better. I can understand the Monday night football game because nobody probably really expected the Brewers to be there, although they have a very good team. But something's got to be done. They're getting killed in the ratings on both. Thank you, guys.
Okay, killed on the ratings. Red Sox did a 20. The Patriots did a 34.
See, the only part the caller's missing there is that they were both off days for the other league. In other words, when the Red Sox played, the National League was off that night. And when the National League played last night, the American League was off.
Switch point.
So they want the game in primetime.
Yeah.
If they're only going to have one game, they're going to put it in primetime. If they were both playing on Sunday, then sure, you put the Red Sox as the early game. You don't go up against the Patriots. No problem.
The other complaint I heard in the midday about the 5:09 start or the 4:09 start in Houston. There's a 4-whatever start in L.A. time yesterday. I love those. I love these. I love these starts.
Yeah, you're not up until God knows when.
Other than
they have to stagger it.
The ratings hurting Felger Maz going up against a LCS playoff game. That's aggravating. But aside from that, from just a viewer standpoint, I love afternoon playoff games.
Me too.
Love them. And I love the 5 o'clock start. Your kid gets to watch this game. Your kid, like my childhood, you get to come home from school and watch a huge baseball game. Ah, I love it. I love it. I can't stand these 8 o'clock starts where you're sitting there at 1 o'clock in the morning waiting for the effing relief pitcher to throw the ball. Another 3:25 game last night. 3:25 for a pitcher's duel. Well, either way, it was a pitcher's duel. National League game took 3:25, and no one hit the ball. It's just ridiculous.
Way too long.
So you might as well start at 4 or 5.
And isn't game 5 8:39?
Yes, one of these games is 8:39.
Oh, that ought to be fun.
The NL game tonight is at 9:09. I mean, it's just putrid. So put these. Oh, I love the 5 o'clock start. Love it, love it, love it. Continue with your thoughts. After Murray's 90-second update, there's no commercials. Celtics open up tonight. All of our football stuff from the first hour. Red Sox gearing up to play Game 3 down in Houston. All of your thoughts right after this.
Duggar Naz, the Sports Hub.